Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffeegrande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Stu does America.
Our show appears on YouTube, and it's available at youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. If you really want to get the most out of your subscription to Blaze TV, you can watch this show and so many others at StuDoesAmerica.com. Enter the promo code Stu when checking out for an extra $20 off your annual subscription. We got Valentine's Day around the corner. Get your partner something they'll really treasure at StuDoesMerch.com. Use the code Stu10 for 10% off your entire order. Will that lead to a divorce if that is your Valentine's Day present? I mean, it might, but wouldn't it be interesting to see if she really cares about you? You know, if she's just leaving you over something like that, probably the marriage isn't going to work out anyway. All right, Andy Ngo is going to be here in a little bit with a terrifying, terrifying story of a leftist cult that is already responsible for multiple deaths, including a death of the U.S. border agent, allegedly. The U.S. Is really, I would say, upended by the trading of Luka Doncic. I want to get into that a little bit coming up in a little bit as well. But we're going to start by doing the Trump tariffs. Yes, it's tariff talk, the sexiest topic on the internet. You might say, what about all the porn? No, no, it's tariff talks if you really want to get that loved one fired up a little bit. I don't like tariffs. Said it to you many, many times. If you've watched me over the years, you know I'm a free trader type. I really don't like them at all. My goal, I think the best thing for the world would be no tariffs at all. That's what I would like. In fact, Donald Trump has echoed that same sentiment in the past. I don't know if we're ever going to get there politically. Going to be really, really difficult to do that. But Donald Trump has also advocated many times for tariffs in certain cases. He really does like them. He's told us on the air it's like his favorite word. He loves tariffs. And I think it would be great if we could have really true free trade. That would be my goal. And so I look at tariffs with a negative outlook. I don't think that they work. And I think they usually do more harm than good. That isn't necessarily, though, what we're talking about today. Donald Trump, of course, is putting tariffs on, or is at least threatening that. He has the fact sheet. President Trump imposes tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and China. Here's what he was talking about. Extraordinary threat posed by illegal aliens and drugs, including deadly fentanyl, constitutes a national emergency under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. Until this crisis is alleviated, President Donald J. Trump is implementing a 25% additional tariff on imports from Canada and Mexico and 10% additional tariff on imports from China. Energy resources from Canada will have a lower 10% tariff. You know, and of course, the reason why you do that is because you know the prices will likely go up. So you're going to have 25% on a lot of products, but energy is a really visible one when that goes up. So that's only 10% coming in from Canada. Now, Trump, look, Trump knows. He understands tariffs really well. In fact, this is one of his most consistent beliefs throughout his entire life. If you go back to the 80s, he's, you know, pro-choice and a bunch of other stuff that he doesn't really agree with now. But he was always pro-tariff in that way. He really thinks they're a great tool. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. Now, he did tweet this out. He said anybody who is against tariffs, including the fake Wall Street Journal and hedge funds, is only against them because these people or entities are controlled by China or other foreign or domestic companies. I will say there's no one outside of this country that cares at all about me. So they're not controlling me. They don't care at all. I am against tariffs because I think they're bad policy. I don't think that I'm against them because I like China. You know, that's just, I can only say that in my case. Who knows about other entities? Anybody who loves and believes the United States of America is in favor of tariffs. Again, I love the United States of America. It's my favorite country in the whole wide world. So that is not why I am against tariffs, and I do not support tariffs. But, you know, again, I think this is a broad statement, just pointing out that there's a couple of exceptions to it. They should have never ended in favor of the income tax system in 1913. The response to tariffs have been fantastic. I will say the income tax, I've got a cup right here that tells you the story. Repeal the 16th Amendment. totally with Trump on getting rid of the income tax. And in fact, if he got rid of the income tax, I'd probably be a lot more comfortable with tariffs. Yeah, whatever. You want to tariff some products, then our prices go up, but we're saving all of our money from our income, our checks every month. I can probably deal with that trade-off. In fact, seems like a great one. We'd have to shrink our government quite a bit to get there. And again, I'm on board for that. If Doge can do that, great. Let's pursue that 100%. I'm with that. In the way he's talking about it, though, where he kind of makes it sound like just tariffs are wonderful, nobody really thinks tariffs are good. You could see them as a good tool, but you know that they do damage, not only to the other side, but also to yours. And Trump talked about that today. He talked about we're going to have some pain from this, but it's going to be short-term pain and long-term benefits. If you think of tariffs, they're kind of like, it's like a suicide bomber, right? If you're a country and you haven't got a suicide bomber, you're like, I want to go kill some of the opposing soldiers, and you put that person in with a suicide vest, you know you're going to lose that soldier. But that's the price you pay for taking out more damage on the other guys. And that's how we think about it. Also, a kamikaze pilot, right? The reason you have a kamikaze pilot, they crash into a ship and it kills 25 of their guys for one of yours. And that's sort of the way that this works if it's actually implemented. And that is an important, important part of this. I will say, too, it's not just I don't like tariffs as a policy. Many, many people on the conservative side who don't love China and do love America have talked about this over the years. Rush Limbaugh talked about Donald Trump's tariffs specifically in 2018. He said Trump is simply trying to level the playing field by tightening the screws on them. Now, once that starts, once you impose a tariff policy, which, of course, conservatives on paper are supposed to be universally opposed to because a tariff is nothing but a tax. And, of course, we oppose taxes simply on the movement of goods and services. But we didn't start it. Again, that's not an argument to saying, hey, tariffs are great. It's an argument to saying that you need them in certain circumstances to level the playing field. If everyone gets rid of their tariffs, we don't have to worry about this problem, right? But we are hit with massive tariffs from places like Canada and China and tons of other places around the world. That is not what I would describe as free trade. I want that free trade, though. I would love that to be the final goal, but that's not what we have right now. Thomas Sowell, another guy who has a little bit of conservative credibility, he said, when you set off a trade war like any other war, you have no idea how that's going to end. You're going to be blindsided by all kinds of consequences. You do not make America great again by raising the price to Americans, which is what a tariff does. And of course, that's true. We know that's true. There's lots and lots and lots of evidence that of course, your prices do go up. It would make sense, right? If they're charging $100 for a product and all of a sudden it takes $125 to make the, or it depends on the cost of the item. But if it increases your cost by $25, you're just going to charge $25 or maybe more. Or maybe it's only $22, but you're not going to charge $0 when you get a 25% tax hike on something you're importing. That's just obvious, and everybody knows that. And a lot of people make the argument, well, it's worth it. And that's really where we're talking about. That's where the conversation is. It's not that, like, tariffs are going to be wonderful for your economy. It's going to cause pain. But is implementing that tariff and the pain that it causes worth the long-term outcome? And that was what Donald Trump is betting on here. There is a study from Yale to give you an idea of what these things would cost in theory. Yale estimated it this way. Aggregate price effects. The proposed tariff, this is on the all the Canadian and Chinese and Mexican tariffs, puts an upward pressure on the personal consumption expenditures price level of 0.72 to 0.76% before consumer substitution, depending on the extent of the retaliation from Canada, Mexico, and China. Pre-substitution is the best way to gauge the hit to consumer welfare. That is the equivalent of a loss of purchasing power of about $1,200 on average household in 2024. Now, $1,200, for a lot of people, it's not going to make that much of a difference. You might get angry about it. You might not want to give up $1,200 for nothing. Some people, especially poorer people, wind up getting hit with this, and it's a lot more meaningful. If you're going, paycheck to paycheck, and you're talking about, 40, 50 bucks a week, maybe more in some cases, maybe a little bit less in others, but like it's something that you might notice over the course of the year, especially if you're close to that line. Does it help us in other ways, though? That's really the question. Now, we saw when Donald Trump put a washing machine tariff on, I think it was 20% on washing machines back in 2018. And you saw right away what happens to the prices. Prices go up on washing machines. And it goes up for a couple of different reasons. Obviously, the ones that are being imported, the price goes up. I think it went up by an average of 16.2% on a 20% rise. The reason why is it went up by 20% or a little bit more than 20% for imported washing machines. But the ones that were made here were like, hey, now ours are a lot cheaper than the imported ones. What if we raise our prices a little bit too and we just blame tariffs or something? Now, of course, the ones that are made here also have foreign components, which is a big problem here. When you're putting together a big supply chain, you have components that were made outside of the United States. Those get hit with tariffs. And then you're putting them together into something and producing it here. Your prices do go up a little bit. But I think these companies also see like a kind of a green light to be able to raise prices on their own. Lawrence Summers, who was an Obama guy, economist, points out some of these problems in a thread that he put together. Yes, it will raise prices on automobiles and gasoline and all kinds of things that people buy. That's, of course, true. The tariffs are passed on to consumers and other firms raise prices to match the competitors' higher prices. This is true as well. This has been shown in like all sorts of economic research. You know, it goes on forever. I mean, it is true. Again, is it worth it? And again, we have a big update to the story coming in just a second. And this will give you a period, a picture as to why, while I don't like tariffs, it doesn't freak me out that much when this stuff goes on with Donald Trump. Third, this will force our allies to retaliate. We saw that with Canada already. Fourth, it's hard to imagine a better way to increase migration on our southern border than by destabilizing the Mexican economy. This one is an actual real concern, because if the economic pain for Mexico is really, really bad, the way that Mexico is going to deal with that potentially is to deal with that pain, which means the people have more pain, which then makes them want to go to the place that's better. Now, again, if we protect our border, this isn't an issue, but it could create more chaos at the border. Also, tariffs as a form of hostage shaking for leverage, other countries will find us a bad partner. That is probably true, too. I mean, like, if you think about it fundamentally, if you want to get an extra $20 today, you probably could take your gun down to the store and as someone's walking out, point it at their head and say, give me $20. They're probably going to do it. It's probably going to work a lot of the time. That being said, there might be some consequences to that. In that case, it's a legal consequence. In these cases, like usually there's a retaliation and there's some weakening of what people think of us when it comes to being a good partner. That being said, are they good partners? I haven't seen that from any of these countries lately. And that's sort of Trump's point here. If you guys are good partners, we won't do any of this stuff. But it seems like maybe you're not. Maybe you're letting a lot of people come up to the border, cross from your southern border, traverse the entire nation and come up to our border, bringing in things like fentanyl and other problems. Kind of has a point there, doesn't he? I would say he does. Now, it's funny because the left has always loved tariffs. They've been very pro-tariff for a very, very long time. And one of the things that they sort of liked about Donald Trump years and years and years ago, now they've decided they don't like it anymore. And Democrats are trying to stop Trump from doing this. Democratic senators introduced a bill to check Trump's tariff authority. I only bring this up because the name is so stupid. That's the main reason I bring it up. Senator Chris Coons and Tim Kaine, who people don't remember, actually ran for vice president in the United States. Do you remember that? That was Hillary Clinton's pick. I mean, if you want to think of anybody who's more invisible than Tim Walz, there he is. He brought forward the Stopping Tariffs on Allies and Bolstering Legislative Exercise of Trade Policy Act Thursday. It really stands for stable to put, but they just call it stable and they just take the last three words out. So good job, guys. That's a really good effort. It would also require the president to elaborate on the decision to impose tariffs. And that's the thing. I will say, this is the issue with the way we have things set up right now. If you don't like the president's trade policy, tough. Basically, gets to do whatever he wants. And that is not, I will say this, Democrats don't care about the Constitution. They don't worry about it in any way whatsoever. They do whatever the hell they want to do. Important note. But I will say, even a broken clock is right a couple of times a day, in that this is specifically what the Constitution calls for. This is what Mike Lee has pushed with the Reins Act, taking the reins back from other branches that are supposed to be constitutional authorities of Congress. The Constitution says the Congress shall have the power to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with Indian tribes. That's Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3. So that's the way it's supposed to be. And I will say, if you're going to have a major decision, like a 25% tariff on a bunch of goods that are coming into our country, the vast majority of the goods that come into this country come from those three nations, China, of course, Canada, and Mexico, vast majority of imported goods. I will say, we do produce things in this country. A lot of people like to slam America, say we don't do that anymore. We do. We are the second largest exporter in the world, just behind China. Again, I would like to be number one, but we export a lot of goods that are made here. We are still an economic powerhouse. That's good. But when you're having a major decision like this, it shouldn't be the decision of Joe Biden, right? We obviously like Donald Trump, and some of the, you know, I think the vast majority of the policies he's been working on have been really, really positive. Should it be if you're going to have something like this that is actually implemented, and we'll have an update on that in a minute, if you're going to have something like this that is actually implemented, if we're going to have a tax increase of 25%, we're going to talk about it, right? We're going to have a vote on that in Congress and in the House and the Senate. We're going to have a president that's going to need to sign that. It's going to have to pass constitutional muster. All that is obvious. But when we're talking about the president wanting to put on a new tariff on goods that come into the country, that will cost us, in this case, they say $1,200 a year. Who knows what the real number is? Might be less, might be more. But if that happens, like, that should be something that goes through Congress. And that's what the Constitution specifically said. Earlier on, the Congress was like, you know what? We don't feel like doing our jobs, so we're just going to assign that right to the president of the United States so we don't have to get any blame for it. So that's where that stands right now. A lot of people want to overturn that, both mostly on the conservative constitutional side. We will see if that ever happens. I'm not holding my breath on that one. But I do think that a debate and a vote would be beneficial on a big change like that. Of course, again, I sound like I'm very much against tariffs. I am. I should be freaking out, right? Like, he's going to put all these tariffs in, and wouldn't that be a bad policy? Shouldn't I get all excited about it? Not really. We'll get into why here in a second. If he puts these into effect, of course, it could harm the markets. And we saw that this morning in a big way. Turn your life upside down way, but a 600 point loss in the Dow, a couple percent on all these indexes, Bitcoin down probably 10%, something like that, over the past 24 hours. And was that about the tariffs or was it something else? Well, we kind of know the answer to that because this all turned around this afternoon. Trump has now paused the Mexican tariffs for 1 month after agreement on border troops. I just spoke with President Claudia Sheinbaum of Mexico. It was a very friendly conversation. You got to love the way he does this. Very friendly conversation wherein she agreed to immediately supply 10,000 Mexican soldiers on the border separating Mexico and the United States. It's interesting how we're so strong that we're like, yeah, put 10,000 troops on our border. And we're totally comfortable with that. Like, we look at that as a positive thing. Ukraine didn't. They were like, I don't really like the idea that they have Russian troops on our border. Kind of different missions, though, on that one. These soldiers will be specifically designated to stop the flow of fentanyl and illegal migrants into our country. We further agreed to immediately pause the anticipated tariffs for 1 month for a period where we will have negotiations headed by Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, Secretary of Treasury Scott Bessent, and Secretary of Commerce Howard Lutnick, high-level representatives of Mexico. I look forward to participating in those negotiations with President Sheinbaum if we attempt to achieve a deal between our two countries. This is why I don't get freaked out about this stuff. You know what Donald Trump is doing. Everyone knows. We all went through a presidency before. He likes to use these tools to get other things. It's not the tariff that he wants. It's what he wants, something else. More border security from Mexico is a great example of it. All he did was threaten them, and he got 10,000 troops to the border. And who knows what else he will get. You notice that he just delayed these. He didn't actually say they weren't going on. So that indicates he wants more. And you know what? He'll probably get more. Colombia, another example. We sent back these people illegal immigrants to Colombia. They refused the flight. We're like, okay, here comes tariffs. And immediately they folded. He likes tariffs because they work. They work in his negotiation. They don't work as an economic thing. They don't help your country as an economic measure. But what they do is, while they cause some harm to your country, they cause more harm to these other countries because we're the big boys on the block. And this goes back to sort of the way Trump sees the world as opposed to the way Biden saw the world or Carter saw the world. The Panama Canal is a great example of this. When Carter's in there with the Panama Canal, we're like, we're sorry. We feel too colonialist today. We're just going to give you the Panama Canal because we feel bad about it. Trump is looking at this and saying, what do you mean we feel bad? We paid for it. We should absolutely have the rights to not only guard the thing, but also get free passage through it. We're the ones that built it. You should be happy to give us that passage because we helped you out. Panama said, what are you, crazy? We're not going to do that. The threats came down, and now they seem to be folding on that to some extent as well. Now, Wall Street, of course, has, this is a pretty pure experiment as to whether Trump tariffs help the markets or not. Not really. Wall Street falls following Trump's tariffs, but then pairs its losses after Mexico announces a delay. So they didn't get all the losses back, but most of them came back. Bitcoin went from 103,000 down to 92 and then was back up to about 100 because it's like as if we didn't know. It's as if we didn't know what Trump was doing here. We all do know. We know that he is using these to get another outcome. And that is what is important to understand. I did mention Bitcoin reverses losses rising to 99,000 now. And who knows where it's going to go from here. The only thing I would, and again, I'm not a fan of these policies. I would rather have it go a little bit of a different way. Trump, though, has the way of sort of pushing people to do things that he wants. If you put these on initially with a 1 month delay, they would have waited 3.5 weeks before they did anything about it. And then maybe you would have had that anyway. He's pushing the envelope by saying they're starting right away. Does it create chaos? Yes, but it does also move people. It can be a dangerous game to play. Trump likes playing it and he plays it well. So we will see if he plays it correctly here. So far, it's working out pretty freaking well for him. I will say you don't want to cause too much chaos because if people feel like there's a chaotic environment, they tend to dislike you more. You start losing people. The approval rating can start to go away. All these things that he's done that have been pretty universally positive, border crossings, a lot of the Doge stuff, which is received well by me, not by everybody as well as me. The trans stuff, the DEI stuff, a lot of that stuff's really, really popular. And in the midst of this run of success, you don't want to shake that up too much. These are wins. He should take these wins, but don't necessarily start throwing tariffs around every single time. I think you can go too far with that. He does not. I mean, and here's the thing. I was looking at the election results. My name's not even on the ballot. I got zero votes, so it doesn't really matter what I think on this stuff. He's going to do what he's going to do as long as Congress continues to give him the authority to do so. And that is what Congress does. That's not what our Constitution says, but the Congress decided, hey, you get to do this all on your own. And we keep saying this when we talk about government power centralized in the executive or any other branch. You're going to find out when you get a president that you don't like what happens with this stuff. We saw really bad tariffs with Obama, for example. But the left has to, it's amazing they haven't learned this lesson yet. If you keep trying to make government centralized and more powerful, you're going to get eventually someone like Donald Trump who's going to do things with that government that you don't like. So maybe we could all align here and maybe embrace the Doge idea and make government a little bit smaller, a little bit slimmer, a little bit less involved in your life. That would probably do good for everybody, but you know the left isn't going to listen to that argument. So there happens to be a football game coming up this weekend. I will be there. I will be at the game with my son cheering on a very green Philadelphia team as they go to take their place, the rightful place with the Lombardi Trophy. Now, if you happen to be watching this game at home, you happen to be there, you happen to not care about football all that much, but you watch it on a Sunday in February, you are going to love Prize Picks because Prize Picks is the best way to win cash while watching the big game. Prize Picks is also giving away a free pick for the game. They do this all the time, and it's great. One of the starting quarterbacks will only need to throw for 1 yard for you to win. Now, of course, that's going to happen almost definitely. So if you're correct on only one more stat projection for any player, for any category, you can win real cash, just one more. Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform that has injury insurance. So if your player leaves the game in the first half and doesn't return, your picks are still alive. Prize Picks invented the flex play, which means you can still cash out of your lineup even if it isn't perfect. So check it out. It's a lot of fun. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code STUSPORTS. Get $50 instantly after you play your first dollar lineup. It's $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get the $50. Why not take advantage of this? It's Prize Picks. The code is STUSPORTS at Prize Picks on the Prize Picks app. Prize Picks, run your game.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
You know, the world occasionally provides us some pretty crazy and dangerous stories to talk about. I don't know that I can think of a crazier one than the one we're about to discuss. And to talk about it, I want to bring in an absolutely fearless reporter, Andy Ngo. He's a senior editor of The Post-Millennial and author of the New York Times bestseller, Unmasked, Inside Antifa's Radical Plan to Destroy Democracy. He has a new piece out this weekend. It's called The Case of the Radical Zizian Vegan Trans Cult and the Shooting Death of a Border Patrol Agent. I'll be sure to tweet out a link to it shortly. It's an incredible story, and Andy Ngo joins us right now. Andy, thanks for coming on the program.
My pleasure.
This is a wild story and a really sad one as well. With something like this, though, I don't know where to start but the very, very beginning. Walk us through what has happened.
So I think that if I told people that there's a trans terror cult that's been killing people across America, most people would think that it's a lie, but it's actually happened. And there's a body count of at least six known homicides linked to this group. The story became busted wide open on Inauguration Day when there was the shooting death of a Border Patrol agent in Vermont. That didn't get a whole lot of media coverage because everything was focused on the events in the Capitol of the inauguration events. But a German national was killed in that shootout, and there was a woman from Seattle. And I reported out that both of these people are transgender. And I kept digging in more and more, and the links started being revealed, and they're quite disturbing. So going back several years now, there has been a trans extremist group, you could call it, that for a time was based in a commune in the Bay Area that followed a extremist named Jack Lasota. That's the legal name. This is a male who identifies as a female and uses the alias Ziz. This person is at large. And going back to 2022, there was a attempted assassination on a landlord of the property where they have been squatting. And two of them have an upcoming trial for a murder and attempted murder. The survivor of the attempted assassination was an elderly man, 82 years old, who was killed in January this year by the fiance of the woman that was arrested in Vermont. And there is also a law enforcement effort underway in the Northeast and East Coast of America for a woman named Michelle Zajko, who is a member of the cult, who is alleged to have provided the weapons that was used in the Vermont shooting. So this becomes very confusing as I lay it all out. I recommend people read my report. It's confusing because it goes back many years. There's been a lot of dead people. Everybody is using fake names. Everyone's transgender. And it does sound really hard to believe. And unfortunately, it took a killing of a border agent for federal authorities to now, it appears, to take this group more seriously, because they had already allegedly committed a execution style double homicide in Pennsylvania in 2022. And so there are still members at large. And this is a really scary part. I've spoken to sources who face intimidation and or are extremely afraid of speaking out because a witness was just assassinated last month.
Yeah, I mean, this is like it sounds like a mob story. It really does, where, you know,
it sounds like a Charles Manson story is what it sounds like.
It really does. I mean, it's got a lot of that. And of course, the Charles Manson story, you know, it certainly had our attention. It was something we all talked about. It was very widely covered. Everyone knew all the figures involved. And this one has really received almost no media attention whatsoever, except for the attention you've put on it, Andy. And you know, looking at this, we have families across the country who are dealing with dead relatives who were slain in cold blood by these people. And some of them have been charged. But the leader of this group is still out there. We don't know where he is. And they refer to him, and I think in your report as well, it's in air quotes, but they refer to him as a genius. What is the story behind this cult?
So this is not a group of like homeless street misfits who are just committing violent crimes. Every single member comes from well-to-do family backgrounds, and they're extremely educated. They either have master's degrees or even more degrees, well-educated at top universities in very specific fields like computer science, or some of them have backgrounds in artificial intelligence and neuroscience. And part of the ideology, which is very esoteric and weird, it's a fringe belief and it's difficult to describe, but transgenderism is part of it, but also linked to that is this belief that is transhumanism, which is that you can use technology to sort of disassociate from the limits of your biology. So in a way, the rationale behind it is similar to trans ideology in that, you know, you are not your biological sex. You can self-identify as something else, whereas transhumanism believes that you can use technology to either live forever or change other limitations of your body. It's very weird. The cult leaders wrote a lot of blogs down, and then some of it is just more easy to understand political leftist ideology, which is I've done a lot of reporting on. They believe in the use of far left anarchist tactics that they call praxis to achieve their goals, such as squatting, for example. So one of the attempted assassinations going back to 2022 stemmed from an alleged plot to kill a landlord, a person who, from all accounts, was very kind to people who he didn't know about their views, but thought that they needed a place to live. So he rented out this land and they lived in box trucks on it. And then they used the excuse of the pandemic and didn't pay anything for years. So when he took action through the courts and eventually made arrangements with the sheriff's office for an eviction, that was allegedly when they killed him, attempted to kill him as retribution.
And he, in that attack, lost his eye, right?
Not only did he lose his eye, he was stabbed all over. The photos of his injuries are really horrific. And he was impaled with a sword. So the way they carry out their attacks allegedly is very brutal. It's not, you know, just like a shooting type of homicide, like, you know, going a group of people attacking an elderly person with a sword. That was what they allegedly did. The double homicide in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, at the end of 2022 was, from my understanding and speaking with sources, done in an execution style to the head. So really scary group, and their members are at large and they're armed.
Do we have any idea, Andy, what their end goal is here? Is there some sort of global domination goal? Is it just, you know, some sort of, you know, a drug party? Like, what is going on?
They believe in autonomous living, and by that, it's like living on a commune where they can do anything, whatever they want, either to each other or to other people who might cross paths with them. And they were able to do that for some time in California. And from my understanding, based on the links to rural property that one of the members bought in Vermont, that they were attempting to build another reclusive commune in Vermont. So in one aspect, it's about living undisturbed, but they're very prolific with their online writings, which has the result of radicalizing, recruiting transgender people online to join their movement.
It strikes me too, Andy, you know, if the differences in the circumstances around this changed, if they had a different belief system, if this was a group that, you know, similar to the Proud Boys or the Oath Keepers, we'd be hearing about this story all the time. It would be covered by everybody. Do you see any sort of just, is the media looking the other way because this is a group that they don't want to point out is committing these crimes?
So local media has been pretty good now that the links have been revealed. However, if you read all the legacy local media reporting, it will omit intentionally the transgender aspect. And you also see that in the Associated Press reporting. And so that's only part of the story, which is what they're very good at. It's lying by omission. Transgenderism is relevant here. It's relevant that all of them identify as transgender. In fact, that may be a prerequisite to joining the group. It's part of their ideology as well. They think that they are better than so-called cis people because the fact that they're transgender.
I mean, it is an incredible story and really, you know, all sorts of really sad consequences. The piece is in the New York Post. It's called The Case of the Radical Zizian Vegan Trans Cult and the Shooting Death of a Border Patrol Agent. You can go read it now. It's an amazing story. And Andy, I can't thank you enough for digging into this. I don't think we would have heard about this nationally at all if not for your hard work here. So thank you so much for everything you're doing.
My pleasure.
And, you know, author of the New York Times bestseller, Unmasked, Inside Antifa's Radical Plan to Destroy Democracy. Be sure to check that out, and we will make sure to tweet a link to that. Andy, thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you.
In the past, I've talked a lot about Jace Medical, but if you want a refresher, Jace provides different cases full of emergency medication so that you can have them the second you need them. It gives you protection and peace of mind. Don't take my word for it, though. Let me tell you about Heather, who got a Jace case and immediately knew this is something she'd been missing her entire life. She said, the process is really easy. All it takes is to get a Jace case is to fill out the form online. From her lifestyle, having a, you know, one was essential because she has 8 kids, which is, that's a busy day for you right there. 8 kids, of course, active in getting into everything. You know you're going to need a Jace case at some point. It's going to happen. So get one. The Jace case is a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. And it provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. They even have ivermectin as an add-on if you want it. So check it out. It's jace.com. Enter the code STU10 at checkout for a discount on your order. The promo code is STU10 is the code. Jace is the place to go. JASE.com. JASE.com. The promo code is STU. Sometimes I have to bring shocking news to you, and I am always hesitant to do so because I know it can affect people in a real way. So I'm trying to prepare you here. We have literally very shocking news. Many Americans say the Democratic Party does not share their priorities. Huh. No way. Really? I never would have saw that coming. Many Americans say they do not believe the Democratic Party is focused on the economic issues that matter most to them. Instead, placing too much emphasis on social issues they consider less urgent. Asked to identify the Democratic Party's most important priorities, Americans most often listed abortion, LGBTQ, they left out the QQIA2+ and that, rights, and climate change. So a 0.9 degree temperature rise, the rights of people who want to sleep with people with the same genitals as and what their rights are that are different than people who want the opposite. And then, of course, killing the babies. So that's a great platform. I don't know why that's not working with the American people. It's shocking. The question really is, do they learn anything from this election? Because they got their, you know, their asses handed to them. And you know, it's one of those things where you're like, shouldn't you learn something? Have a little reflection on what's just occurred? The answer to that's typically no, not at all. Hakeem Jeffries pledging Democrats will fight Trump agenda in the streets. You know what else you should try? Try calling him Hitler again. That worked out really well. Call him Hitler and then accuse the guy that has been completely responsible for the electric car revolution in this country. Accuse him of being Hitler and giving Hitler salutes. That'll work. It's a great strategy. Keep trying it, everybody. And you say, well, wait a minute. That's just one example. Maybe they did learn something. How about this one? Parkland shooting survivor and gun control activist David Hogg becomes DNC vice chair. Now, it's fascinating because David Hogg has specifically said we shouldn't be electing white people. He would not run for office because he's white, and we don't need any white people in there. You know, look, you go through an incident like that, God only knows what happens to your brain. Okay, and so I think you can have some grace as to not thinking that this person should be held to the same standard, I don't know, as other people who are right-thinking in this country. You know, you go through something tragic like that, God only knows how you turn out. You can make that excuse if you want, but you definitely don't have to give him the DNC vice chair role, right? Like, that's a statement as to where your priorities are, and it shows they've learned absolutely nothing. You think David Hogg relates to a moderate voter in Pennsylvania? Do you think so? Do you? It is fascinating. They can't get out of their own way, and I am here for it. Any time in life that you have to make a big change, it's hard. This is especially true when you're planning to buy or sell a home. It can be really complicated, and it takes a lot of time, a lot of jumping through hoops. If you've been through this process, you know what I'm talking about. The stakes are about as high as they could ever get in terms of financial decisions that you make. So you need to have someone on your side, someone you can trust. You need a real estate agent that can help you with this, and you don't want some ordinary person who sucks. Or maybe they're just mediocre. I don't know. You don't want someone who's mediocre when you're talking about this. If you're going into the McDonald's and you're getting a Happy Meal, the person might be a little mediocre. Maybe your fries aren't particularly salted correctly. You'll live, right? Real estate agents I trust can get you an agent that can help you with this gigantic financial transaction we're talking about. This is someone who knows the best practices, someone who understands the crazy housing market, someone who is a team leader and a closer, someone you can trust. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home or both, please get in touch with them. You'll see what I mean. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. The name says it all, and this is a free service to you, by the way, so take advantage of it. realestateagentsitrust.com. It's realestateagentsitrust.com.
Bezahlen läuft für dich sowieso nur mit dem Handy? Dann hol dir doch was von deiner Kohle zurück. Denn in allen Restaurants und Bars gibt's jetzt 5% Cashback, wenn du mit PayPal zahlst. Tap dir mehr mit PayPal. Alle Infos gibt's auf paypal.de. 5% Cashback nur auf Einkäufe vor Ort in Restaurants und Bars in Deutschland bei kontaktloser Zahlung mit PayPal. Gültig vom 2. Juni bis 19. Juli 2026 für die ersten 850.000 berechtigten Kunden. Maximal 15 Euro Cashback pro Konto. Es gelten Bedingungen auf paypal.de.
Donald Trump is upending norms once again, and it's despicable. As we all know, when the Super Bowl is on, what do you do as president of the United States? Say it with me. You go and sit quietly in your Rehoboth Beach home. No, actually, most of the time, until very recently, presidents would have interviews, and Donald Trump is turning that tradition back on. He's going to sit with Bret Baier. Fox has the Super Bowl this year, and so they will be doing a big interview, and they will go through the first 100 days of the presidency. So that will be very interesting to see. Of course, the Philadelphia Eagles, America's team, are going to be in the game, and everyone in America rooting for them against the evil empire, the Reds. Okay, the red team, Kansas City Chiefs. Also, a crazy development in the NBA this weekend where inexplicably Luka Doncic was traded. NBA stars have been shocked by Luka Doncic trade. I will say I was absolutely shocked. I don't think I've ever been more shocked at seeing a trade announcement on my phone pop up. I honestly thought the guy who wrote it was hacked. I thought it was one of those fake things, or maybe it was like a mock trade. Would this be interesting? They traded him for Anthony Davis, and not much more. One pick, I think, in there as well, coming to the Mavs. And it's hard to describe to someone who is not in Dallas how central to the city Luka was. Like, he's in every ad campaign. He's all on every billboard. He is like the guy that I would have bet any amount of money was going to be in this market for the next 15 years. Like, he was absolutely loved, embraced. They got to the finals last year with him. You know, maybe it makes some sense if you're in a situation where you're underperforming and you have nowhere really to go and you're trying to rebuild and you trade him for 7 draft picks. Okay. I mean, we're talking about maybe the second or third best player in the NBA. That's the type of haul you'd think you'd get. Instead, they traded him for someone who's like maybe a borderline top 10 guy, but also a player who is in his, he's about to turn 32 years old. He's 7 years older than Luca, and it's just an absolutely shocking development. I can't even describe to you how blown away people are here in Dallas. They're like bringing coffins to the arena. They're just apoplectic. I'm stunned by this. They better win a title somehow out of this, because if not, I don't know. I mean, it's such a crazy move that I think even if they won one title and then that was it, it almost would still seem like a disappointment. It is the craziest sports development I've ever seen. Of course, I'm hoping that we have a much more explosive sports development here in just a few days as the Eagles win the Super Bowl. That's what I'm hoping for. So I will only be here for one more day this week, but I will see you after that. I will say, lots of stuff to watch. Countdown to the next aviation disaster, a documentary I put out 70 days before the crash at DCA. It's available as part of your Blaze TV subscription. StuDoesAmerica.com, code STU.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.